everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Aspiring Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Hamza Chowdhury. I'm excited today because we have our first guest on the channel. So my friend Irfan here was born and raised in San Jose, California. Irfan was encouraged to express himself through art and drawings by his mother, who has her own artistic abilities. Irfan's father actually encouraged him to become an architect, and he got his degree in architecture at UC Berkeley. While in college, he pursued video and film production, and in 1998, he actually started Jam Productions. He has created several documentaries, music, instructional, and corporate videos. In 2003, Irfan and his business partner created the documentary, The Aftermath, American Muslims After September 11th. He has been involved with local communities and mosque projects in the Bay Area. In 2005, he founded Muslim Unity Day. In 2012, he founded Halal Fest, one of the largest events of its kind in the West Coast. I encourage you guys all to follow him on Instagram at Irfan Rydon. And I'm just really excited today because, like I said, Irfan's a good friend of mine. I've watched him all these years. He's done some incredible things. And I thought, what better than to have him on the show and to have him as our first guest where we can learn from him and sort of the things that he's managed to do. I mean, we're talking about big events, things that most people, if they were trying to attempt, they would need not only a lot of support and help, but it's something that very few people are equipped to do. And what I wanted to do to have Irfan on the show is to help us understand kind of the process and how he sort of throws these events, what's his sort of inspiration, and how he manages to do what he does. Because I've been to several of your events and they're very successful, always a huge turnout. They're incredible. And I just want to welcome you to the show. Welcome.
Thank you for having me on, Hamza. Appreciate it.
So first question is, and I have a list of questions here, guys, so I will be reading off a script here. So what got you started in event planning and what actually sparked your interest? Like, what would you say it attributed to from?
So for event planning, I kind of stumbled upon it kind of by accident. I've always been a kind of a detail-oriented person. And, you know, like, I like to organize things. And as a student of architecture, that's something that I also honed in school, about planning and organizing things. And of course, when you're doing, as you're familiar with, the buildings and things, you got to look at a lot of different things and organize it into to create the blueprint so people can understand how to build something. So I kind of took those skills that I learned in architecture school and applied it to event planning, because basically, when you do any kind of event, whether it's a small event or a large event, you have to look at a whole lot of different details. For example, different vendors, and then you got different contractors working for you or employees helping you put on the event. And then you have to also work with the city officials. You got to meet the requirements of the health department and the police department and the fire department. So there's a lot of different things you got to keep track of. So, you know, a lot of people don't really realize that when they're going to an event, a lot of times people think it's, you know, something simple or easy to do. And, you know, that's why it's kind of hard to put on an event where everybody can not think about it. If you don't have any, you know, if you go to an event, you're just enjoying it, you're not thinking about any of the issues. But for planning, you got a lot of things to worry about.
Yeah, and talk about issues. I mean, you're an architect, I'm a structural engineer. In theory, we're not even supposed to get along too well, correct? So, you know, and that, you know, there, like you mentioned, there's so much that goes into planning these events, right? And it's, you know, we're, I guess the first thing I would think about is, you know, what factors do you use to decide where should the event take place, right? Like, you know, if it's a specific event, let's talk about, let's say, for example, your Halal Food Festival. So what factors do you use to decide in where, which location should you have the event? And is there anything specific that you're looking for?
Yeah, so for the Halal Food Festival event, which actually took one whole year to plan it out, because at that time, 2012, there was not any type of event like that before. So it was totally new for me, even though I've done community events, large events too in the past, but this was the first time that I'm doing something totally new and in an empty parking lot. So pretty much, you know, in the past I've done events at venues, you know, where they have some infrastructure there, they have buildings, restrooms, they have electricity, they have power, they have things that you can use. But for a parking lot, which we did the first few Halal Fest at, there's nothing there. It's just an empty piece of pavement, and you have to bring in all the infrastructure. So you have to bring in generators for power, you got to bring in fencing for security, you got to hire security officers, you have to. And in the case of our first year at Halal Fest, we had to work with the city of Newark, and every city has their own requirements. In this particular case, they considered it like a temporary building. So, you know, I'm familiar with, luckily, because I'm familiar with architectural design and submitting plans to the city for review, as I'm sure you are as well, we had to do that for Halal Fest. So I had to use a lot of my skills that I already had. So I had to draw the plan for the layout of the festival, where everything's gonna go, where all the canopies go, where all the tents, all the vendors, all the food trucks, show everything, submit that to the planning department. And then I also had to go to the city council and kind of present it, and they had to approve it. So, you know, not all the cities have that kind of requirement, but in this particular case they did. So, you know, luckily I had some experience to handle that.
So you mentioned the mall. I mean, if I wanted to host an event, I mean, who am I talking to? Where do I start? Do I call the mall's general manager? You know, and then you mentioned city council. Well, what if they reject the idea? They don't like the idea. Do I have to appeal the hearing? It just sounds like there's so many steps involved. I mean, how did you find out where to go and who to talk to and all this? It sounds like there was a lot of navigating. Did you have someone to help you? Did you just figure it out on your own? How did you know who to talk to and you know, what you needed?
Yeah, so like I said, the first time, it took a long time to plan, like one whole year, because I also had to kind of learn along the way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, when I went to the mall, I was, you know, we were trying to look for a central location for the Halal Festival, and I happened to come across the New Park Mall, and where we had our first few events. And yeah, I just contacted general manager, talked to them. At that time, that particular mall was pretty much empty. You know, they a lot of their stores, big stores, had left, so they were looking for any kind of revenue. So they were already renting out their parking lot for different events. So that's how I got into that. And then, yeah, then you kind of learn along the way the process that you have to do. Then you have to go and talk to the health department. They give you their requirements, and then the city. So then that's how you learn. You have to kind of just reach out and talk to people and figure it out like that.
I mean, honestly, it's a great event. It's here, located in the Bay Area. I've had the pleasure of not only attending but sponsoring the event, and I can say that you've done an incredible job. You know, it's such a great community event, a lot of good vendors, a lot of great things. One of the things I noticed, though, each year, Irfan, is that there's no way you can do this without a support staff. And part of me wants to understand, and our viewers to understand, is how do you build a support staff and team to support this effort? Because obviously you yourself wouldn't be able to throw something that large. So if I were interested and I have a location, I have an idea of what I want to do, how do I build the sort of team and support staff that says, yes, like, we want to help, we want to be a part of this? Like, where do you start with that?
Yeah, the team is definitely very important, just like in any kind of, whether it's a business or a nonprofit organization or something, you need a good set of team, whether they're volunteers or they're hired staff or whatever. So yeah, it's a long process of finding people who are good and who are gonna help you to achieve your goal. So, you know, just like everything else, over the years of doing different community events, I've met people who I've worked with. And then when I did Halal Fest the first year, I was able to hand pick the people that I wanted to be part of our planning team, because I was already familiar with their work, and I had already worked with most of them before on different events. So I knew that, you know, these are reliable people, because that's a very important thing. And any type of event that you see, Doesn't matter the size of it, all the work is usually done by maybe a handful of people, 5 or 6 people, you know. That's, and that's on any kind of event, whether it's Super Bowl or what, because the planning team, they do all the work, and they're doing all the working with the city and all the requirements, and then they get the volunteers to help on the actual day of the event, which is another totally separate requirement.
So do you assign sort of managers on each aspect of an event? So for example, you know, you're going to be in charge of ticket sales, you're going to be in charge of permits, do you assign sort of people that are going to be in charge of, and then they're sort of assembling their own teams, so it's kind of like a, you know, sort of like a corporate management system? Or are you are essentially you five doing all the work and everyone sort of overlapping each other in terms of their efforts?
So there's different ways to do management, as you probably are well aware. So in this particular case, I have a core team, and each of the members are assigned to a specific task. For example, ticket sales and marketing and sponsorships and things like that. And then, but we all kind of work together, so there's some overlap going on. But we have a person designated for each department, and then they have their own volunteers that they work with, and then but usually, you know, as the executive director, I'm kind of involved in everything, but I'm kind of trying to delegate tasks to the core team, and then they also delegate to their volunteers.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, I mean, seeing all of those moving pieces the day of, right? Imagine when you're doing an event yourself, right? The day of, and you see all the pieces working together. I mean, it must be such a rewarding feeling. And, you know, you've done such a great job. I've seen the scale of the audience and the attendees grow every year. And it's just incredible what you've been able to put together. So we've talked about, you know, building the team, finding the location. Now, one of the things that we have to do is, obviously, we got to get permits. And you kind of hinted on that earlier. And you talked about, you know, going to the city council, and we talked about health permits. So maybe can you just sort of talk about, so what type of permits do we need? Like, maybe not list all of them, but maybe the most important ones is, what type of permits do we need, and how long of a lead time do I need? If I want to throw an event next month, is it possible? Or is it something like you mentioned before, it takes about a year of planning to do an event of this scale? What was the attendance on the last Law Fest last summer?
So last year we probably had about 7,000 people altogether, and so in terms of planning, it normally doesn't take like a year, but like I said, that first year I was learning everything as I was going, but then after that, the following years, then it usually takes about 3 or 4 months of planning. So, and yeah, sometimes the cities are pretty slow in responding to things, and even the cities, when you're submitting a large event application for a special event, you have to get a special event permit, they like to have like about 60 days notice themselves, so that gives themselves 2 months time to prepare for it. And then if you're doing something that has food, which most events do, you have to get a health permit. And one interesting thing that a lot of people don't realize is that when you bring in restaurants or food trucks or whatever, even if they have a restaurant that has a health permit already at the restaurant, they still have to apply for a special event permit themselves, because this is considered a special event, and the health inspector has to come and inspect their booth or their food truck to make sure that they're following the health requirements at that event. So a lot of people don't realize that, because, you know, I always get contacted by a lot of different vendors, and they say, oh, I already have a health license or health permit at my restaurant, can I come in? And I said, yeah, that's fine, but you still have to apply for the special event permit for the city, or the health department in this case. So that's one thing that a lot of people maybe don't realize.
So I've actually been a vendor at the Halal Food Festival. My wife and I run a dessert truck, and I can tell you firsthand that the health department can sort of make or break. So they can come, show up, and see that you don't have a hand washing station. So imagine you've planned weeks and weeks, whether you're chopping up meat or you're serving dessert, and you haven't prepared a proper hand washing station. They can shut you down. Let's say, for example, you have netting around your, you know, tent to prevent, you know, insects, bugs, flies, whatever coming in. And for whatever reason, you didn't actually, you know, bring in the netting, they can shut you down. They can say, no, insects and flies and everyone can kind of come inside your, you know, inside your event. So there's a lot of things that can go wrong. And I think just like you said, getting through, just having a health permit at your restaurant isn't good enough. You actually have to sort of go through the exercise of reading the requirements and doing a site. So, you know.
Yeah, one interesting thing about that is I've had a few vendors who had to throw away their cooked food, their cooked meat, because they didn't keep it at the right temperature according to the health department requirements. Wow. And you know, so over the years I've learned pretty much everything. I learned something new every year when I'm doing the event, so I add in all this information to our vendor contract. And because every year something different happens, so that's one thing that we learned, is that hey, we have to make sure that all the vendors follow the rules, and if they don't, then we're not going to give them a refund because they're supposed to follow the rules. And if they have to throw away their food, that's their fault because they didn't follow their requirement of keeping it warm at the right temperature. It's, you know, for health, for public health and safety, they don't, the health department doesn't want people to eat food and get sick, and we don't want that either as the event organizers. So we have to make sure that all vendors follow that. And another thing that we learned over the years is, okay, a lot of vendors are busy because they have their own restaurant, they have their own business, and they don't have time to look at all the details. So over the years we learned that, okay, let's set up a meeting a couple of weeks before the event with all the vendors, which we require them to come, and we go over everything with them there, so that way they know what's gonna happen. Like we tell them what to expect from the health department and what the fire department is gonna look for, so that way everybody knows there's not gonna be any surprise. You're gonna know what's happening and you have a couple of weeks to prepare ahead of time.
So obviously, in order for people to come to an event, there have to be attractions, there has to be a reason to come, there has to be great food, for example, in Halal Food Festival. So I guess what I want to know is, when you're finding vendors and you're trying to find, let's say, attractions for the family, for the kids, like, what does that process look like? You know, how do you find these people? How do you find good vendors and good attractions so that you can create this event? Because at the end of the day, just because you put together an event doesn't mean that people want to actually attend. So are you doing a survey to find out what people are looking for in attending an event? Do you sort of, you know, just like you said, the first year, just give it a shot and kind of see what the highs and the lows were, and then sort of reflect and pivot from that? How do you sort of put this together and find the right pieces to make this event successful?
Yeah, it's a you know, you kind of experiment along the way and you learn what things are successful and what things work, what things don't. So like for the Halal Fest, originally I just wanted to do just like a food truck event, because at that time food trucks are very popular, and obviously for halal food there was only a few halal food trucks at the time. So I said, okay, let's bring them all together in one spot, and you know, people will probably like that. So but then as we're doing the planning, then we said, okay, hey, let's add a bazaar too, because you know, people, you know, it's around Eid time and people want to do some shopping for gifts and toys and clothes. So then we added a bazaar. And then I also had some experience volunteering for our masjids, our mosques, Eid Mela that they do. So I was familiar with the carnival rides that they had there. So I just contacted that guy and he gave me a good deal. I said, okay, I'll come to your event too. So we added the carnival rides. So all these things kind of happened like that. It wasn't originally planned to be that big, but then it kind of grew into that. And then, you know, people started liking certain things. And so then we added entertainment. We added, you know, some music or comedy. We tried to have a different entertainment every time. So it just, you know, things keep evolving, things keep developing and changing.
So for example, when you're looking for a comedian, all right, we all have a family member who's probably a comedian. Like, where do you start though? Like, where are you finding these people? So you found the attractions because you had connections with the SBIA, I think you're probably referring to them all. So where are you finding like the talent? And like, let's say just because you have a talent doesn't mean people want to see this person. So are you looking at like Facebook or trends, or how are you finding these sort of artists to come and, you know, do your events?
Yeah, so that's also a process. So we, you know, we have in our team, we kind of, you know, after the first couple of years, we start brainstorming on, okay, now we have to have some kind of new attraction, and that can be a specific comedian or a specific artist. So we kind of brainstorm ideas, and sometimes we get lucky, like, you know, we see what's popular at the time. And so, for example, in 2017, we said, okay, let's do a comedy show because we haven't done that before. So we happened to get, you know, and I had worked with some Muslim comedians in the past. So I contacted some of them that I knew, and I got them. And then at that time, there was a new comedian who was just coming up, Rami Yusuf, who now is very popular, but we happened to get him right before he became really popular. So we got a really good deal on him for his performance. So sometimes you just get lucky and you get somebody who's right before they launch and they're out of reach, right? But
and that's great that you gave a platform. You know, sometimes people get discovered at these events, right? They do something and someone sees them and they just happen to be in the business and say, hey, give us your contact info and let's give you an opportunity. So good for you you know. And again, Irfan, you know, on a side note, you've done a lot for myself. You've given me several platforms. As most people know, I love inspiring. I love talking to people, and you've given me several platforms throughout the years. And I want to thank you for that, for sort of encouraging people like myself to stand, you know, to sort of step up and, you know, help others, teach others and mentor others, right? And be positive. There's a lot of people out there that, you know, want to learn, and they just need a platform, or they just need a venue to sort of, you know, get to learn and to experience something different in life. So I appreciate all that you've done. One thing that I do want to talk about now is the day of the event. Okay, so you've done all this work, you've done all this homework, you know, like you said, months and months, permits, all the things that sort of come together. So let's just talk about the day of the event. Day of the event, what's going through your mind, and how do you feel about managing a ton of people? So in our series, I just did a series on customers. We talked about firing your customers. We talked about finding the right people for the right time. When you're doing an event of this size, you're gonna have people from all walks of life. You're gonna have competitors spying on your event to figure out, hey, how can I do this event? So just so you guys know, I actually had one of his competitors reach out to me to be a vendor at their event. And they actually even had the nerve to copy his contract. So when I saw their contract, I'm like, this looks a lot like the Halal Food Festival contract. So what's going through your mind the day of? Because not only are you running an event, but you have thousands and thousands of guests who, again, are either going to be really happy, they're going to be really sad. And then we know that, you know, we talked about in our series in customers, you know, online reviews. You're going to get online reviews. So you tell me the day of, where am I putting my attention? What am I doing? What's going through your mind?
Yeah, that's a good question. So myself, I try to focus on just managing the event. And over the years, I've learned that, you know, you're not going to be able to make everybody happy. And anything you do, whether it's your job or an event or a program or you're doing something, you're always going to have people who support you no matter what you do. You're always going to have people who are against you or who don't like it, whatever you do. So those two extremes, which I call, you don't worry about that. You worry about the people in the middle, which is the majority of people who are going to, you want to focus on, because they're the ones who are going to be, in general, they're going to make or break the event. So don't get caught up in the reviews, and I had to learn that along the way. It's not easy to do that, because, you know, over the years you get a lot of complaints, and people say, like, one thing that kind of irked me was people complaining, oh, this was not a organized event, and it was, you know, a disaster and all. So, you know, sometimes you take those things personally, because they don't know how much time that you've put into it, right? So they don't see that. They only see what's happening at that particular time. But So I had to kind of learn to ignore some of those comments and focus on improving. And one thing that I've done from the beginning is that, and this is for every event that I've done, whether it's a small event with 50 people or a large event with thousands of people, is I always do a feedback survey, and I try to get feedback. And from that feedback, you see, okay, what are the common complaints that people had, and what are the common things that people liked? And then you take those things and you try to improve for the next time. So, you know, that's an important thing to realize, that don't take criticism personally, and don't try to defend yourself all the time, because it's just a waste of time, especially on the internet. A lot of people like to just, you know, troll and harass you nonstop, and it's never going to end. So just focus on, okay, what are the good critics or criticism that you can get, and how can you develop and improve for the next time?
I mean, that's excellent advice. I mean, for a lot of us watching, you know, how many times has somebody said something to us, right? We tried really, really hard to impress them, and we felt like, you know, we came up short based on their feedback. And I find it, again, incredible what you do, because you've done these events year in, year out. And it sounds like to you that you actually just sort of zone out these sort of naysayers, like the people who, no matter what you're going to do, they're going to just talk bad. Yeah. And then I always ask myself, well, what are you doing for your community? Mm-hmm. You know, Irfan, you've done so much sacrificing and hard work for the communities. If there weren't people like you doing that, then there would be no Halal Food Festival. There would be no Muslim Unity Day. People need to understand, when you're doing an event, especially if it's a community event, if that event didn't exist, what would happen to your community? Right? Would it come together once a year in the summer, and you can, you know, see people, see how they're doing, catch up? Would you be able to kind of come together? Right? That's what community building is all about. So I think that's great advice that you're able to, if you're watching this and you're, you know, facing criticism, even if it's from your family, be able to block that out. See the big picture, you know? And then another thing you mentioned was, if you're doing a survey, look at those trends and see what those trends are of in those surveys are telling you, because those are the things you can work on, and hopefully you're able to resolve that and only get better. And that's what I found with Halal Food Festival, is it only gets better. And I appreciate, you know, that advice, because I think that a lot of people, again, today are going through where they get inspired and then somebody just shuts them down and they just quit on themselves. So in sort of closing, what I'd like to do is, and we've learned a lot today, and I appreciate everything that you've said, is I want to know, you know, for people watching today and watching in the future, is what's your best advice? So if someone out there wants to plan an event, they want to host a large event, what's the best advice that you can give to someone today to help them sort of be successful?
So it's hard to summarize one or two things, but the first thing I would say is to take your time, you know, plan it out. You don't have to rush, especially for the first event that you're doing. If it's your first time doing something, you don't have to rush into it. Take your time, try to research and try to plan out as much as you can. And even for someone like me, who kind of sometimes goes a little bit overboard in planning and tries to figure out all the little details, there's always going to be something that comes up which you did not expect is going to happen, and you're not going to realize that until you actually go through it at the event. So no matter how much planning you do, there's always going to be something surprising you. But like I said, try to plan as best as you can. Try to find a good team, one or two people. You don't have to have a really big team in the beginning, who can support you and work together. And then, you know, just go for it. And, you know, don't be afraid. Sometimes you got to take a risk and go for it. And then, you know, good things could happen from there.
Yeah, so getting out of your comfort zone, guys, right? Don't be afraid to challenge yourself. Take risk. Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you wholeheartedly, Irfan. You're our first guest on the channel, so definitely excited to have you. Thanks for sharing your knowledge and your wisdom and all the things that you've gone through these past years. Like I said, I've watched you for at least, you know, 15 years now. Yeah. throw these events, and I'm just glad I got a chance to talk to you about it, learn more from you. Our audience gets to obviously learn. Yeah. Definitely encourage you guys, you know, follow Irfan on Instagram at Irfan Rydon. I will have his Instagram posted below, but I just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to sort of share with us the experience of event planning. And for those of you guys who have additional questions, like I said, feel free to follow Irfan and, you know, add your comments, and let's make sure you subscribe to the channel and like us on YouTube. Take care, guys. Thank you.
Right. Thanks, man.
Bye.